Well, if you have a Bible, it'll help you to be able to see 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. And we'll zoom in tonight on just a couple of sentences there, verses 37 and 38. I see some adjusting their hearing aids. Are you struggling? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 37 and 38. I have three questions tonight and might deal with them in unequal lengths. But I want us to ask, what is nature? You see our harvest display. Sunflowers and grapes and carrots. You see other things. And I want us to ask, what is nature? What is this thing we call nature? And then I want us to ask, why is nature? Why is it? Why nature? And then thirdly, to ask more specifically, and I trust there'll be most time for this, why harvest? What's going on with harvest in particular? So first of all, what is nature? Notice these verses in 1 Corinthians 15, 37, 38. What you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere seed, perhaps of corn or some other seed. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. And then he goes on, all flesh is not the same flesh. And on he goes, there's one kind of flesh of men, humankind, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. But let's think about these seeds. You do not sow the body that shall be, but God gives it a body as he pleases. Those are very important words, you know. You may think we have been brainwashed to think. And I want to say Satan himself has taught us to think that nature is a machine. Nature is a machine. And seeds go into the ground, and these bodies, as the Bible calls them, these bodies grow, and it's a machine. It's a machine set up by perhaps a string of tremendous accidents. Now, in the Bible, it is completely different. It is not a machine. Did you get it? You sow a seed and God gives it a body as he pleases. Do you know that? God gives it a body as he pleases. That in all of what we call nature, God is there. God is present in every millimeter cubed of our hall tonight, in every millimeter cubed of the universe. God is there. And God is active there, and he is fulfilling all his own will by, Simon prayed, quoting the scriptures, by the word of his power. In fact, that is so real, it is so true. I'm even reluctant to use the word nature for it at all, because nature does sound so much like things doing things by themselves. But actually, God is everywhere, doing everything. So do you feel your heart beating tonight? That is not nature. It is not even your pacemaker. It is God. It's God. God. Actively, second by second, keeps your heart beating. Are you breathing? Can you sense your diaphragm heaving? It's God. It's God. There is no such thing as nature without God. What we can say, if we want to use the word nature, we can say, nature is God working so regularly, so consistently, that we can chart it, and we can anticipate what he's going to do next. There is winter, and spring, and summer, and autumn, because that is the way God is doing it. Some of you, I think, are possibly expecting babies. It's probably true in every congregation. Now, it is an amazing thing what the doctors do. They show you a picture of your baby. They take this picture and they tell you it's going to be born on the 12th of March. And they're always almost perfectly right, because God does this thing so consistently, so regularly, you can anticipate what he's going to do next. Now, for myself, I'm glad when we get it wrong, because it's just a little reminder to the human heart that God is a person and he's not a machine. And in all his patterns, there is such variety. But very quickly, I'm just saying to you, do you see it in our verses, that nature is not a machine, but God, God, God the person. And then, the second thing, very quickly, I want you to think, why is nature, why is God doing what he's doing? Why so? Now there's a clue in our verses. And what you sow, that seed. You do not sow that body that shall be, but mere seed, perhaps of corn or some other seed. But God gives it a body as he pleases. All flesh is not the same, verse 39, verse 40. There are celestial, that is heavenly bodies, and terrestrial, that is earthly bodies, and all these different glories. And then verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Do you see what he's saying? That nature is there, and in nature, God is not only working, but he is speaking. He is speaking. And God is showing himself to every human eye, to every human life, to you. God is showing himself, and he's speaking in every sunflower, in every grape, in every carrot, potato, in the sun shining in the sky, in a river, in a blade of grass, and most especially in your fellow human beings. God is speaking. God is showing himself. God is teaching you. And so all heaven declares the solar system and beyond, it all declares the glory of God. In every language, God is speaking. Now that means that even if you had never seen a Bible, and you'd never met what the Bible calls a Christian, I don't mean now what people in Britain tend to call Christians, but let's say you'd never met what the Bible calls a Christian, someone who has been saved by God, rescued, put in a good relationship with God. If you've never seen a Bible, you never met a Christian, you would know enough from God, in flowers and birds and trees and bananas, you would know enough from God for you to cry out to him, "Oh God, who are you? Where are you? Please help me find you." Every human being has seen enough to cry out to God like that. And no one has ever cried out to God like that. And he has not in mercy and love heard their prayer. In fact, that might be why you are here tonight, because one day you cried out to God like that. Oh, you who made the sky, the stars, you who made me, my eyes, my brain. Oh, where are you? What is this all about? Now, no one's ever cried out to God like that, honestly and earnestly, and he has not heard and answered their prayers. Now, it's important to say how he answers those prayers. You know the psalm which begins, "The heavens declare the glory of God." That same psalm goes on to say, "But the law of the Lord," meaning the holy scriptures, which were then still accumulating. The psalm says, "But the law of the Lord," God's word, "is perfect, converting the soul." Do you see that? The heavens tell you so much. Enough to cry out to God. You are, as a human being, you are required to cry out to God when you see flowers and trees. But the flowers and trees do not tell you all you need to know. The law of the Lord, his word, is perfect, converting the soul. So the man on the desert island, he sees his palm tree, and he sees the sea, and he sees the sun and the moon, and he's aware of his own mind and brain, and he cries out to God, "Oh God, who are you? Where are you? I want to find you." And that is not his salvation. But God hears his prayer, and just now there's a missionary in a boat, and he's rowing to that island because God is sending him there. Or there's some scripture in a bottle bobbing on the water, and it comes to rest on his shore because God has heard his prayer. But God is not going to save him and deal with him without his word. Without his word. By his word comes faith. And that might be why you are here tonight, because you've seen a harvest, and you've seen the sky, and you've seen your eyes, and you know something about your mind and your brain. Who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? And you've groaned it all out to God. You might even have accused God. But in his mercy, he sent to you a boy, a girl, a man, a woman with a Bible. And they've invited you somewhere where you can hear the Bible, his word, saves, he deals with you in his word. And so we couldn't have guessed the message of the harvest without God's word, there's enough here to make us say, oh God, who are you? Where are you? But we need now his word to take us further. And so we've asked, what is nature? It is God, God at work. We've said, why nature? Oh, well, God is speaking about himself in nature. Now I want to ask especially, what about the harvest? What about these seeds? Verses 37 and 38, you sow this seed, and who would imagine what would come from that seed? Who would imagine a sunflower would come from that? Who would imagine a grape, a vine would come from that? It is astonishing, isn't it, what God does with a seed. Now the lesson is now then, what are we meant to learn from the harvest? Well, do you know, we are here for a little while in this world. A little while. My mother died 2 years ago, and it's really pressed this on me. We're here just a little while. And we're gone. We're gone. But the Bible now is asking you, and God and the harvest are asking you now, to really think about your life now, from now on. Your life from now. Where are you going? And what is it going to be like? The Bible is saying here that our bodies are going to be buried like those seeds. Like those seeds. And our bodies are going to be raised from the dead. How are we going to be raised? With what kind of bodies are we going to come? And I want to say three things about our bodies as they will be raised on that last day. When Jesus Christ comes again, if you have died before then, oh, our bodies will be raised from the dead. If you are still alive, you will need this too, what we're talking about now. Three things about our bodies on that last day. First of all, we are going to be transformed. That's the point here, isn't it? That the seed which is put into the ground, who would have thought it was going to become a vine, a grape? Who would have thought? And so it is with your body. It's laid to rest in death in its place in the ground. But oh, who knows how it will rise? It's going to be as transformed as any of these seeds were transformed into what you can see. So will your body be transformed, changed in a moment. So transformed, so we were stressing this morning. It will be your body. It will be you. It will be recognizably you. And yet, oh, so transformed. So transformed. A bit like the transformation of a seed to a blade and corn. A seed and a vine. What a transformation that will be. This natural body is going to be sown and it's going to be raised a spiritual body. That's what these verses say. This natural body. Now when our Bible says this natural body, or in our verses, this Adam-like body. Our Bible is not now talking about the fact that my body is racked and wrecked by sin and by God's judgment, his curse upon sin. That is true. But the Bible isn't talking about that now. It's simply talking about our bodies, like Adam's bodies, so weak, so weak. Our bodies at their peak in this life. You're still 25, you're strong, you're athletic. Your body needs transformation for heaven. This natural body, we're not just talking now about your body and it's old and disease ridden. We're talking about a body, just a normal, healthy body in this life is a natural body. And it must be transformed. And death is a part of that transformation. Do you see that? This natural body, even at its peak, must be transformed for heaven. And death is a part of that transformation. And so verse 54 tells us that death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Think about that. That the victory which Jesus Christ won on the cross, victory, it swallows up death. Now that is not only the defeat of death and the destruction of death, but do you see, when death is swallowed up, death contributes to the victory. You know, did you have chicken for dinner today? That was not only the end of the chicken, but it was also contributing to you, that chicken. It's contributing to your energy and your muscles and your complexion and your scalp. And so it is with death. It is not only swallowed up and defeated, but it is swallowed up to contribute to the victory. The victory which is us all with transformed lives and bodies in the presence of Jesus Christ. And death is a part of that transformation and that victory from the weakness of our Adam-like bodies to the power and strength of our Lord Jesus' resurrection body, the man from heaven. You know, he went to the cross, our verses are saying, with that Adam-like body, but he was raised from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, with a heavenly body and a spiritual body. And so with us. We go to our graves with these Adam-like bodies. We are raised with spiritual, heavenly, resurrection, transformed bodies. Now, much more quickly, our verses are also saying that our bodies are raised suitable for their new place. They're raised suitable for their new place. You notice all these different kinds of flesh and glory. There's the flesh of man, of beasts, of fish, of birds. And you see that a fish has a body that is suitable for water. And the bird has a body suitable for flying. And we have bodies suitable for our place. Our bodies are going to be raised suitable, our verses say, for the kingdom of God. And in that verse, kingdom of God means what we would call heaven. It says flesh and blood cannot inherit that kingdom. In other words, mere flesh and blood mere flesh and blood, cannot inherit heaven. We need new, powerful, invincible bodies to inherit that place. A body stronger than Adam ever had. You know, Adam, even before he sinned, he had a fundamentally weak body. And so God could say to Adam, in the day that you do that, you will die. Because he had a fundamentally weak body. But you cannot say that to a man or woman raised incorruptible with a heavenly body. You can't say, in the day that you do that, you will die. This body can never die. It's a heavenly body, a spiritual body, a body like Christ's body, a body suitable for its new place. And so we find the Lord Jesus now with his heavenly body, his resurrection body, not only eating fish, but he's appearing and he's disappearing and he's going through doors, and he has powers that even he didn't have before in this heavenly body, which you and I are going to have. It will be a suitable body for the kingdom of God, for heaven. And then thirdly, and so much more quickly, it's going to be a glorious body. Notice that. Glory. 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 It's going to be a glorious body. You know, there are two fundamental meanings to the word glory in the Bible. And the one is display. Display. You and I are going to be something to display. Glory. To be displayed for God's praise, but displayed. Can you imagine being displayable? I'm so glad I can hide behind my suit today. But one day, oh, glorious bodies for display. Glory. But there's another meaning to glory that's very important. Do you remember the Ratner jeweler shop? And it had a chairman, who I think was called Ratner. And he said one day, all these earrings and rings, they are all tat. They are all tat. He said, it's all rubbish. It looked nice. You could display it. But it was tat. The other meaning behind this word glory is weightiness. Weightiness. It is the opposite of tat. You will not only be something to display, but you will be something worthy of displaying. There will be a weightiness, something substantial, something good, something deep about your displayable beauty and glory at last. And these are all lessons that God is teaching. You need his word to get it. You need his spirit to get it. But he's teaching you this through the harvest. Our bodies are so, oh, they are so. But oh, it's almost unimaginable how they're going to be raised. There is a little expression in 1 Corinthians 15. In your sins. And most of the human race is living like that. In your sins you live. And God is pushed out to the edge of your life. And you live in your sins. And your sins have never been dealt with. Oh, all your hostility against God, your hostility against your fellow human beings, your refusal to worship God. You know enough to worship God, but your refusal to worship Him, you live in your sins, you die in your sins. And I need to tell you at the end of our service tonight, you will not be raised like we're describing tonight. This kind of raising, rising from the dead is for men and women, boys and girls, and God has turned them around and forgiven all our sins, made us new people on our way to heaven. But until God turns you around, you see, that is not you. You are living in your sins, you are dying in your sins, and you are going to be raised on that last day. You're going to be raised. No one shall escape the raising of that last day. You're going to be raised, and you are going to be raised suitable, but not suitable for the glory of heaven. You are going to be raised suitable for wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's how the Lord Jesus describes your future. You are going to be raised for wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible has an astonishing sentence. It's describing heaven, the glory of heaven. And the Lord says, outside are the dogs. Outside are the dogs. And if you end up outside of heaven, in what the Bible sometimes calls hell, eternal punishment, you will scarcely be recognizable as a human being at all. But raised suitable for wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now I want to urge you tonight, can I urge you tonight, to cry out to God, even where you are, to cry out to God, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Set me on this new course, not to hell and wailing and gnashing of, but set me on this course to heaven. Didn't the Lord Jesus die for sinners? Well, that's me. I'm a sinner. He died so that sinners like me need not go to that place where we deserve to be already, but that sinners can find a place in wonderful heaven. Well, let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, we thank you for all that you have done, and especially for what Jesus Christ did, dying for our sins on that lonely, dark day. And now it seems almost too good to be true that all I need to do is call on the name of the Lord and trust and throw myself on you for mercy. And it's done. The great transaction is done. And a dirty, hell-bound sinner is on his way to heaven. We thank you for your almighty gospel. And we pray, dear God, that each one of us will get it and stand upon it. Stand on Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless you for the resurrection of that last day. And we pray that none of us bowed before you here will be missing. But all with glorious bodies suitable for that tremendous place, gathered at Jesus' feet. Oh, hear our prayers because of Jesus Christ. Amen.